Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 10th day of May, 2023. And I am absolutely thrilled to have a first-time guest on the program. He's somebody that I've known for a number of years, but this will be our first opportunity to have a discussion live on the air on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. His name is Kevin Vigneault. He is pastor of Community Connections at Lakewood Baptist Church of Pewaukee, Wisconsin. And today we're going to be addressing the theme, Foundations for Evangelism. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Kevin Vigneault.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris. I'm excited to join you on this and have enjoyed listening to your radio in the past, and I'm just thrilled and privileged to be able to join you today.
Yes, I was saddened to hear that you had left Long Island, where you were pastor at one point at the Bible Church of Port Washington, but obviously am happy that you have found a new home in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, where you are rejoicing to use your gifts there. And so we are excited to hear about any updates on praise reports from you at this new post of yours. I don't know how new it is, because time, when you get to be my age, 61 years of age, time flies by a lot more quickly than you want it to. So first of all, before I even go into your own story, tell us about Lakewood Baptist Church of Pewaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah, so Lakewood was planted about 13 years ago, and actually while I was in Bible college out in this area in the first place. So I got to hear of the Lord's work in this church plant, and met the pastor back then who planted the church, and it continues to pastor here as one of my partners in ministry. A couple very close family friends of mine, two families that I knew from my childhood home back in New Hampshire, moved out to Wisconsin, and they were part of the church plant as well. So I was always impressed from a distance at Lakewood and what God was doing here, and watched it from afar, mostly through social media. And then, yeah, about 2.5 years ago, my wife and I were in New York, and that's where I know you from, of course, Chris. And we were asked if we'd submit a resume, and the initial response was no, but then we were asked if we'd at least pray about it. And of course, once we started praying about it, the Lord guided our steps here, and he's been very gracious. Our church is growing. We've been seeing a lot of folks come to know Christ. We've been seeing a lot of folks coming in just from the community. I wouldn't even dare make a guess at how many baptisms we've been able to have, privileged to have in the last 2 years, but I believe close to 40 or 50 baptisms, if I had to take a guess. And it's just been a thrill to see God use the gospel in amazing ways here in this area, just outside of Milwaukee.
And what specifically is your role and are your duties there at Lakewood Baptist Church? in regard to being a pastor of I just lost where I had your information here. Oh, pastor of Community Connections. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Community Connections is the external name or external title, I guess you could say, that we would want the community to see. And that's also an advantage for me, as I meet people in the community, rather than saying I'm the pastor of evangelism or outreach and I'm here to evangelize you and outreach to you. It just is a nicer front, I would say, towards the community. So the church family knows me as pastor of evangelism, pastor of outreach, and that is really my specific lane, of course. We believe in a plurality of pastors, and so I do just about everything that any of the other pastors would do. I teach, share the pulpit, teach Sunday school, disciple, do counseling, and shepherd the flock. But my specific lane, which I absolutely love, is evangelism. And so living a life, what that entails is just living a life of evangelism in the community. Part of my job description is being in the community and sharing the gospel as an example to the church family. And then, of course, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, bringing fellow believers alongside of me and allowing them to share the gospel with me or watch me share the gospel with people in the community. And of course, I teach classes repeatedly, usually about 2 years it's been over the last 2 years of having people come in and doing a class on evangelism. And then often when I preach, of course, I'll end up covering something along the lines of evangelism in the pulpit on a Sunday morning.
Well, if anybody wants more details on Lakewood Baptist Church of Pewaukee, Wisconsin, you can go to lakewoodbaptist.church, lakewoodbaptist.church, and hopefully I will remember to repeat that later on in the program. What was it about our topic today, the foundations of evangelism, that immediately made that issue come to mind when we discussed having an interview? You didn't have to think about it. It was something that just immediately was on your heart and mind, right in the forefront, to bring this as a topic of discussion on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Now, obviously, it is a very important issue, so it's in one sense a no-brainer. But is there any specific reason that compelled you to say to me, I want to talk about the foundations for evangelism?
Sure. Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of you, but I feel like the best way to answer that question would be to share my testimony briefly. I grew up in a home where, or I was born into a home where my parents were not Christians. My mom came to know the Lord when I was 4 years old, and my dad came to know the Lord when I was 6 years old. My mom began sharing the gospel with me immediately. And of course, that I was on the younger side already, but right when I could have really started understanding the gospel when I was four. So right after she got saved, she started sharing the gospel with me. And I believe the Lord did do a work in my heart at the time, and I made a clear profession of faith in Christ. But as many young children do, I struggled with assurance. I struggled with, a day after fighting with my sisters or disobeying my parents, I would pray, Lord, if I'm not saved, please save me. And always was struggling with that. And then the Lord worked in my heart when I was 9 years old. I can't even remember what was talked about but it was a Wednesday night. And I remember very clearly coming home that Wednesday night and just getting on my knees on the floor and crying out to the Lord and recognizing that I was saved because Jesus Christ was the ultimate and perfect sinless sacrifice. I was saved because he obeyed his parents perfectly, not because I obeyed my parents. And it was just a maturing of my faith at that moment. But I remember very, very clearly that night, just at 9 years old, praying to the Lord and saying, if this is true, which it is, I can't think of doing anything else in my life other than just serving the Lord full time in whatever capacity the Lord would have me serve him in. And at that time, it was all planning on going to Africa, and that lasted for a while. I went on a couple missions trips to New York City, which piqued my interest in New York City. And the burden behind my wife and I moving to New York City was that's where all the fish are. You know, if you're going to go fishing, you're going to want to go fishing where all the fish are. And so we had a burden to go where there were many lost people and share the gospel. So all that to say, from a very young age, God has given me a passion for evangelism, from basically 9 years old and on, to just be sharing the gospel with people. And I'd say I'm a jack of quite a few trades, but a master of none. And so when you brought up, you know, if there's any topic that you'd be interested in discussing, evangelism is right at the top of the list, simply because God has given me a passion for it. And he's allowed me, especially at Lakewood, to really hone in and spend 90% of my time dwelling on evangelism and how to do it effectively and how to care for people in that way.
Oh, so I guess you're not a Calvinist. I'm just kidding, of course, because that is one of the greatest lies ever perpetrated by those who are enemies of the doctrines of grace. And those who are enemies of the doctrines of grace are most often, in my experience, people who are just totally ignorant of the doctrines of grace. They've only heard a slanderous caricature of what we believe and have only read what the enemies of the doctrines of grace have written about it. They've never read those who have been champions of those teachings for centuries. So they have a very false view of what we believe, and very often they go on their own flawed and faulty presuppositions that they think logically connect. If you believe that God is in sovereign control over salvation, then why do you need to evangelize, et cetera, et cetera? But we both know that this is a means that our sovereign Lord uses to bring his elect to himself and save them. He commands us as Christians to do it, and he uses us to plant seeds, water them, knowing that he is the one that gives the increase. And evangelism is what God uses as his normative means to bring the lost to salvation. And I would include in evangelism someone preaching the gospel from a pulpit, because a part of a good sermon should include some aspect of evangelism. But I'm assuming you would agree with what I've said so far.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the foundations in my evangelism class is pointing out that our hope and trust is in God and how he has elected and will save people, and that actually gives us confidence and boldness in sharing the gospel. One of my favorite passages, of course, and you're probably expecting me to go here on this topic, but in Acts 18, we see Paul needs some encouragement as he's in Corinth sharing the gospel. And Christ came to him. The Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, go on speaking, and do not be silent." And the reason he gives for this is he says, "For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in the city who are my people." And then it says that as a result of this conversation, Paul stayed 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. So it gives actually great courage and hope and as a motivation for sharing the gospel, knowing that it's not dependent on ourselves, but dependent on the work of the Spirit.
Amen. Well, I want to give our listeners our email address right away in the event that they have questions on evangelism. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. So going through your foundations for evangelism, explain to us the fact that we need to use wisdom in evangelism.
Yeah, absolutely. So scripture is full of that, right? Matthew 10:16 talks about being wise and planning, and planning is all through scripture. And we need to take that to heart and recognize the importance that we are in a culture that is, of course, anti-God, anti-Christ. All men from birth believe or do not believe in God. They do not worship the Creator as they ought to. Rather, they worship creation, as Romans 1 talks about. So we need to be wise in recognizing the culture that we're in and understanding what can grab their attention. And now I want to say just a couple of things up front, and Chris, you already covered it. We believe in God's sovereignty and election. So anything I say today is not out of pragmatism, you know, but out of wisdom. And as we read the scriptures, when we see Jesus, he reasons with people, he answers their questions, and he addresses people where they're at. Paul does the same thing, of course, on his missionary journeys, and we want to be that same way. So I use one illustration as simply a wrapping paper illustration. We're going to wrap Christmas presents differently than we would birthday presents. Or I've got three young children. I've got a 10-year-old, almost 8-year-old, and a 5-year-old. And my 10-year-old son's wrapping paper is going to look different than the wrapping paper for my 7-year-old daughter.
Well, with me, it's always brown paper bags.
Keep it simple, right? so we clearly understand the message of the gospel does not change, right? No matter where we are. But dependent upon the person that we're talking to, we want to communicate the gospel in a way that they will understand and is clear to them. And this takes, you know, we see this very clearly with missionaries. We tell missionaries, or we understand that missionaries do this all the time, and they go to Africa and they're going to learn the language, they're going to learn the culture, and they contextualize to that culture that they're in. And I think that's important for us to do now here in America, and depending on where you live, the Midwest. You know, I went from living in New York City for close to 10 years to the Midwest. And so it's a completely different culture. There are different religious backgrounds that I'm facing. In New York, I was meeting a lot of Jewish folks, very strong, devout Catholics, a lot of atheists. In Long Island, as you know, Chris, you know, very, very low percentage of people who even believe in scripture whatsoever. So moving out to Wisconsin, where I'm meeting a lot of Lutherans and other individuals who have some foundations of scripture but may not have the gospel, we recognize that, or I'm trying to recognize that and meet them where they're at in the presentation of the gospel.
And I'm assuming you did not mean by that there are no Lutherans who believe in the gospel.
Absolutely not. No. I've met many wonderful Lutherans out here that do believe in the gospel, but I've met many also who do not know the gospel. And so reaching out to them in that way and knowing how to wrap the gospel in that sense. And even just there was more of a philosophy of what we're sharing and how we have a conversation, but also we can zoom out and consider things like this. When's the last time somebody knocked on your door to sell you a vacuum? Yeah, I'm just old enough that I still remember when I was a kid, you know, having a vacuum salesman come to our door and come into our house and show us the rainbow vacuum system and vacuumed our floors for us, and my parents actually buying that vacuum. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. And I'd say even in post-COVID now, people aren't as open anymore to just having somebody walk up to them on the street and begin a conversation, though those things may happen occasionally. But now people are more about, it seems, relationship and talking with people that they know. So a big emphasis that we have at Lakewood and in the evangelism class or courses that I teach is with an understanding of God's sovereignty, that he's placed you in a workplace with coworkers, in a neighborhood with neighbors, on a soccer team with teammates, that he's placed you in those places already to be a light to those people who you have a relationship with, and to actually cultivate that relationship and evangelize long term. A passage you already mentioned, that there's watering, there's planting, there's watering, but God gives the increase. Very, very rarely will we have a two-minute gospel conversation with somebody on the street and see them come to know Christ, right? Rather, it takes time and cultivation of those seeds that have been planted as the Spirit works in them. So just a wisdom in recognizing the culture that we're in and meeting people where they're at in that way. And if I have time, I'd love to think right now would be a great time to introduce something that I call starting points.
Sure.
And
maybe perhaps just a brief moment of clarification.
Yes.
Knowing you, I know that you do not mean, as you've already indicated, because you already said that this is not an exercise in pragmatism. You do not mean that we are to compromise truth to appeal to the lost. We're not to pretty up the gospel, remove the bad news, remove the sting of the bad news, which is actually what makes the gospel good news and makes the gospel beautiful and wonderful and makes grace amazing. It's the bad news that precedes it. So I know that you're not talking about compromising that in order to appeal to the interests and tastes of men.
Absolutely not. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm pointing out, as I think you understand, is simply, and in that one point, was recognizing that people aren't as open to a stranger walking up to them on the street or a stranger knocking on their door, right? But rather reading our culture and looking to cultivate relationships so that in the long run, we can share the bad news in a candid way, right? And in a clear way. So for an example, I have a young man that I met through soccer and started building a relationship with him. And now over the last year and a half, we've had maybe 8 to 10 meals together or met for coffee. And now he's in the middle of an evangelistic Bible study that I'm leading out in Milwaukee at a couple's house. And it's taken time of a relationship with him to be able to peel back all his faulty thinking, right? And he made a profession of faith about a year ago and prayed. I heard him pray, professing Christ as Lord and Savior. And then just about 2 months ago, I'm having lunch with him again, and it was clear to me. I was like, I don't think he understands the gospel. So I asked him one of my favorite questions. I said, what if you were to die today and God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? And he fell right back into, well, I'm a good person. I've never murdered anybody. That typical answer of dependence on self. And so immediately I knew right where to go, and we went straight to the law and how pointing out to him how sinful he is compared to a holy, holy God and his need of grace, and that he cannot earn salvation, of course.
Amen. Yeah. Let's start on your points that you were going to mention after we return from the first commercial break, because I don't want to interrupt you in mid-sentence while you're doing that. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say your church, where you are a member, has a different understanding and a different practice of evangelizing the lost than you are hearing discussed today. Perhaps you disagree with your own church on that issue, and you're not ready to identify yourself publicly. Perhaps you're even a pastor, and you disagree with your own fellow elders or the denomination where you serve on the issue of evangelism. Whatever the case may be, where you feel compelled to remain anonymous, we will grant your request if it's a personal and private matter. But if it's a general question on what the scriptures teach about evangelism, a general question about anything my guest is saying today, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Kevin Vigneault after these messages from our sponsors. Back together again, yeah. Back together again, yeah.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener who mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making their purchase, whether it is a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com valued at $100 or more, or if you're having a custom designed piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, your denomination logo, and turning it into a piece of jewelry like a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up, they will take what's in your brain and they will turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. And I've seen firsthand the mastery that they have over customizing and creating jewelry, so I know what I am speaking of. And I urge you, if you have any interest in purchasing jewelry or having jewelry custom designed for yourself or anyone else you love, please not only bless yourselves and your loved ones and bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at the same time, because keep in mind, to remind you, we will receive 100% of the profits if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase. Go to royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com, and we have no idea how long they'll be offering us this amazing deal where we get 100% of the profits from the sale. So please try to go to royaldiadem.com as soon as possible to make your purchase or get the ball rolling on a custom designed piece of jewelry. That's royaldiadem.com. We are now back with Andy Woodard, and our topic today is a very important topic, the foundations of evangelism. If you have a question, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. And Andy, before the break, as you may recall, we were getting into using wisdom in evangelism, and you were about to give us some points under the umbrella of that theme, and if you could begin.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a reminder, it's Kevin, not Andy, but thank you for the great. That was quite the compliment, so I appreciate it.
The reason why I said Andy is that the next question from a listener will be by Andy.
Oh, that makes me a little nervous if it's from Andy Woodard.
But it is. How'd you know that?
All right. Hopefully it's a serious question from Andy. But he's a good friend that both Chris and I know. So thank you for the compliment. Yeah, so I was going to just build off of, we were talking about recognizing the culture we're in and meeting people where they're at. And of course, as Chris, you pointed out, this is not watering down the message. It's and we'll get into exactly what I mean by giving some illustrations. But one of the things that I found very helpful that I teach to people are what the starting points are. And so when I'm teaching people on evangelism, I like to have a whiteboard, and I'll ask them, what are, if we could boil down the truth to five simple points, what are five simple points that somebody must understand and believe in order to be saved? And it's interesting because a lot of times it's a little bit of a struggle to get these 5 points from believers. But I would submit that they're this. Number one is that there is a creator God who is holy, right? Number two, that we are his creation. And that because we are his creation, we are accountable to him. Number three, because there is a holy creating God that we are accountable to as his creation, it means that we are sinful and deserve to perish. The wages of our sin is death. And so this is the foundation, of course. And as you already pointed out, there has to be bad news before you can get to good news. And then number four would be turning the corner to the answer and introducing the hope of Jesus Christ, that he is the sinless Son of God, crucified, buried, and risen from the grave, and that salvation comes through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. And then point five would be, what do you do with this truth? How do you respond? Right? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Christ Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. So these are what I call the starting points, and I keep them numbered 1 through 5. And what I think is really helpful about them, especially in our culture, is I remember back when I was in high school, and we would go out on Saturday mornings onto Main Street, and we would strike up conversations with complete strangers. And again, the culture was lent its hand more to that style of evangelism, and I'm not against that for today. I just recognize the town that I live in is not open to that. But as I would go and talk with people, most of the people I met on the street would already believe that there was a creator. Most of the people I met on the street would believe and understand that they were his creation and that they were accountable to him. So those two points were already covered, you could say. And I would start on number three, pointing out that because they're accountable to God, it means that they are sinful and deserve to perish. But now, many, many of the people that I meet as I'm at the gym or playing soccer with teammates, and I seek to have a conversation with them towards the gospel. Many people that I'm meeting now are atheists or, professing atheists. I believe from scripture that all men understand that there's a God based off of general revelation and eternity placed in their hearts and the law of God written on their hearts. But they're suppressing this truth and they consider themselves atheists. And so now my starting point, if I talk with them and I approach them the same way that I approached somebody 15 years ago, starting on point three, there's no foundation laid. And so it's helping people to understand that when you're having a conversation with somebody, you need to first find out where they're at. Do you need to start on point one and point out, first of all, and argue for the fact that there is a creator God? Maybe you're starting on point two, that you're his creation and accountable to him. Maybe you're talking with somebody who has a church background and their church has emphasized works, but they understand that there is a creator God and they're accountable to him. So we'd start on point number three. And so that's just been a really helpful thing for me, at least in having that mindset when I go into a conversation with somebody, of finding out where they're at and where I'm starting. And of course, the end goal is always to get to point number five, right? To share about Jesus Christ and then what a proper response to him is as Lord and Savior. And so I found that really helpful. Those are called starting points. And that's just been something really encouraging to me or helpful to me to think through as I'm sharing the gospel with people.
Well, as you already guessed or were somehow informed, our first question from our listener today is our mutual friend, Pastor Andy Woodard of Providence Reformed Baptist Church in New York City, one of the very few churches in New York City that is standing firm against the heresies of the woke movement. And that is no little task in a place like New York City, one of the most left-wing areas of the world. So it takes courage to do such a thing, stand against that woke movement, especially in the light of the fact that You are certainly automatically filtering out many people that might otherwise visit and join your church. And when numbers are sometimes at stake because of finances and keeping a church in existence, it's a bold move and a courageous move. But Andy asks, he has two questions. First, he says, friendship evangelism has gotten a bad rap in our circles because it often stops with friendship and never gets to the evangelism part. Do you find value in friendship evangelism or prefer proclamation without worrying about relationship with a lost person?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in short, what I teach our church is to put an emphasis on the relationships that you already have and developing relationships with people in the community. But this is never to the neglect of sharing the gospel with somebody, let's say on the airplane. Right? You're seated with somebody for 2 hours. They're in that sense a captive audience, right? The closest thing we'll have to probably Paul, you know, being chained to the Roman guards and him preaching the gospel to them. And so, of course, I never want us to neglect those opportunities. So I try to spend a lot of time in the community, and we'll meet a man at the gym. And the first time I end up talking with him, able to turn the conversation to the gospel, and I'm all for that. But on the other hand, I think, again, we must understand that God is sovereign and he's placed us in certain places, and that there is something very healthy. And from what I'm seeing, at least in the location that I am at right now, building a relationship in order to communicate truth seems to be a way that the Lord does work in his sovereignty very well. And even back in New York, I was in a town of about 36,000, and I would always tell people it was a tough area because it was about 50% Jewish, 50% devout Catholic, and 100% rich. And in the world's eyes, I had nothing to offer them. But of course, we know, according to Scripture, and because of the grace of God, we have everything to offer them. And I was surrounded by Jewish neighbors. And if somebody just walked up and knocked on the door of my Jewish neighbor and told them, I'm a Christian and I want to talk to you about Christ, the door would have been slammed in their face. But I developed, you know, a young couple across the street from us. I spent years cultivating a caring relationship with them. Now, I didn't wait years to share the gospel with them, right? But it took years for them to be open to having a gospel conversation with me. And seeing that I cared about them and that I didn't just want to tell them that Judaism, that their belief was wrong, and shove Jesus down their throat, but rather that I cared for their souls and that I loved them. And that's why I wanted to tell them about Jesus. And so it opens up conversations with people who may never listen to. But of course, there is always that danger that we get comfortable with the friendship and therefore we don't share the gospel. But if, of course, we need to be motivated at all times and to share the gospel, recognizing the importance of it, that it's vital. It's vital for our personal walk with Christ, right? Fulfilling the Great Commission. If we love Christ, we'll keep his commandments. It's vital for the lost. They are dying, and it's appointed once for man to die, and after this comes the judgment. And it's vital for our church. Every church is dying, we could say. People are dying each week. People are moving away. And if a church isn't growing through evangelism, it's moving towards extinction. And so those types of things must motivate us to get out of our comfort zone and share the gospel.
Pastor Andy's question reminded me of a phrase, a slogan that makes me sick to my stomach that I have heard for quite a number of years. And it's always the most awkward thing when somebody who's a guest on this program spews it as a truthful slogan, and I have to announce to the audience that I'm in disagreement with my guest. That is not happening here, of course, but the slogan that is most often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, and I don't think it is clear or historically proven that he actually said this, but the slogan is preach the gospel and use words if necessary. That really annoys me because there's so many people who have adopted that under the umbrella or understanding of friendship evangelism. And if Jesus Christ and his disciples had had that motto that they lived by, they never would have been executed other than the foreordination of God himself. So I know that that is not what you mean by friendship evangelism, because winning a friend just so they can enjoy the benefits of having a Christian friend is still going to march them through the gates of hell if they don't hear the gospel, repent, and believe it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's somewhat of an oxymoron. If you're understanding friendship evangelism to mean simply being a friend is evangelizing, it's not evangelizing, because evangelizing is the proclamation of the gospel verbally, right? And Romans 10 lays that out for us very clearly, that one cannot call on him whom they've not believed, and they can't believe unless they've heard. And how do they hear unless we preach, unless we tell them? So the whole purpose of that relationship, of that friendship, is to verbally proclaim the good news to that person.
And Pastor Andy's second question is, many Christians will never lead someone to faith during their lifetime. Do you have suggested realistic goals for Christians to have regarding seeing people come to Christ as a result of their evangelistic efforts? Some popular disciple-making books emphasize making one disciple per year a Christian. And I was wondering what you think of that. That seems to, in my opinion, in some way defy the understanding of the fact that we are only planting and watering seeds and God is giving the increase. But what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I often encourage folks that we are called to be faithful. Right. We are called to proclaim the gospel. God is the one who gives fruit. So there's I may go through life and end up seeing 50 people come to know Christ through my personal evangelism. And another brother or sister may go through life and never see someone come to believe the gospel through their personal evangelism. That does not mean that I was any more faithful than they were. Right. Now, if they were sharing the gospel, right, and that should be the goal. That should be the goal, period, is to faithfully share the gospel. So really, I just love it. It brings to my mind Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. I call this the Great Commission of the Old Testament, in a sense. We're commissioned and called to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus. And in fact, our expected response from people is rejection.
In fact, right? We have to pick up where you left off there, because we have to go to our midway break. Please be patient.
All right.
Please be patient, folks. This is a longer break than normal. We'll be right back with more of our discussion after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Irons of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org. That's g3min.org. And enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Irons and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
A blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. 1-800-273-3333 or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, always remember to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and also publish for the first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are a primary support of finances for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their advertising, and I don't know, other than the mercy of God, how we would continue to exist without the advertising of solid-ground-books.com. So please try to patronize them as frequently as possible. And remember, you're not only going to be doing them a favor, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone else for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com, an enormous favor of incalculable value, because you are sure to bless them with superb and theologically sound, doctrinally solid, biblically faithful literature. That's solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to my guest today, Kevin Vigna, and our discussion on the foundations of evangelism, we just have some important announcements to make. First of all, if you really love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it's just a special event that you want to promote, whatever the case is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I want to remind my listeners that I don't want any of you to ever cut in to the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church where you are a member in order to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a gift financially. Please never do that. In other words, don't give your own church less money than you normally give them because you want to bless us financially. Also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. There are two things in the Bible that are clear about finances, that we are to support our churches and our families. And supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously. But if you do have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for recreational and benevolent and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us so that we can continue to survive. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Lakewood Baptist Church of Pewaukee, Wisconsin, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically solid churches, and I may be able to help you find a church, just as I have done with many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio all over the world. So if that's the case with you, you are spiritually homeless, as it were, you don't have a biblically solid church where you're a member, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I may be able to help. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Kevin Vigneault, pastor of Community Connections at Lakewood Baptist Church of Pewaukee, Wisconsin. And that is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Pastor Kevin, before the break, you were just about to move on to another point that involved the question by our mutual friend Andy Woodard, who is pastor of Providence Reformed Baptist Church in New York City, that was affiliated with the controversies surrounding friendship evangelism. If you could pick up where you left off.
Yeah, I think we were answering just the hard part of what if you go through life and you never see someone come to know Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And quite simply, it's a privilege. Personal evangelism is a privilege. It's not a duty. It isn't work, right? Christ did the work of salvation. Evangelism is sharing the good news of that victory of Christ. And we understand this, especially understanding the sovereignty of God and God's election and the work of the Spirit. We do not save people. We share the good news, and God does the saving. And so for many people, much of their personal evangelism may be simply planting seeds, may be cultivating seeds that have already been planted, but God is, or watering, whichever terminology you want to use, but God is the one who gives the increase. So we should not measure our faithfulness based on seeing people saved, Rather, faithfulness is based on our obedience, right? And sharing the gospel in a consistent, faithful way, in a verbal way, right? Consistently and faithfully because we love Christ and we want to tell others.
Now, if somebody has never led anyone to Christ, if a church is experiencing very low growth numerically from newly converted individuals, don't you think it is right and proper to at least examine yourself and your life to basically test yourself as to whether you are evangelizing, to test whether you are, as a church or as an individual, truly, zealously and passionately sharing the good news of Christ? And then, of course, if you are convinced that you are indeed obeying Christ, you are indeed doing that, you don't need to torment yourself over the fact that very few converts or any are coming to Christ through your efforts. We need not beat ourselves up if we are truly obeying Christ in this way and we are not adding to the offense of the gospel, our own offenses, because the gospel is an offense alone to the lost. We don't need to say, you're a sinner who needs Christ for salvation, and by the way, I hate the tie you're wearing. You're a sinner who's headed for hell, but you're ugly too. We don't need to add to the offense of the gospel. But if we know that if we're convinced through honest self-reflection, we not need to torment ourselves. Am I right that we shouldn't just fluff off the fact that either the church where we are a member or in our own life, if no converts come to Christ through our efforts, we shouldn't just fluff it off as being immaterial and inconsequential, right?
Yeah, I think there's definitely room for healthy consideration of how you're approaching evangelism, of maybe your life, right? One of my points that I was interested in bringing up today is the importance of a life well lived, right? Yes, evangelism only happens through verbal proclamation of the gospel, of the good news. But we also need a life that lines up with that which we're proclaiming, right? And scripture is clear on that. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about, you know, this very famous verse when it comes to apologetics and evangelism, verse 15, in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do with gentleness and respect. It's really in the context of people seeing how you suffer, right? And they see that we suffer differently than the rest of the world, and they go, why do you have this hope? Well, you're able to give them an answer. John 13:35, Jesus says, people know you're my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Philippians 2 talks about not grumbling or complaining, but working out your salvation with fear and trembling, holding fast to the word of life, and that we are lights to this crooked nation, right? Or to this crooked and perverse generation, that we are shining as lights. And living differently, of course, Romans 6, Ephesians 4, no longer living as the Gentiles, no longer living in our sin, but making externally visible the change that God has done internally in our lives. So, of course, there's room definitely for healthy consideration of, is my life, is my walk with Christ lining up with the message that I'm preaching? But there's also no promise necessarily that we'll see a ton of people come to know Christ as we share the gospel. And Jesus said himself, the world hated me and rejected me. They're going to hate and reject you as my followers.
Yeah, there have been famous missionaries who went overseas to spread the good news of salvation in Christ. And their missionary efforts on a human perspective of success were complete failures. But God used them to bring countless multitudes to Christ after their death through the seeds that they planted. So we can't even use what occurs as a result of our evangelism on this life where we're in this life where we're alive as the true barometer of what would be genuine success.
Absolutely. And we have no idea what God is doing behind the scenes. So you may meet somebody on the street, share the gospel with them. The conversation in your eyes and your understanding went absolutely nowhere. But who knows? Maybe in heaven, that person will walk up to you and say, you may not remember me, but God used that conversation. And later on, another person talked with me and I came to know Christ as a result.
Amen. And by the way, Pastor Andy Woodard of Providence Reformed Baptist Church in New York City wants to say that New York is not the same without you.
Well, I miss New York and miss Sandy as well.
And if anybody wants to find out more about Pastor the church where Pastor Andy is ministering, Providence Reformed Baptist Church in New York City, go to pbc.nyc. PBC for Providence Baptist Church .nyc. I also want to let our listeners know about a book that has been written by Andy Woodard. The Great Reset Christianity, How Woke Evangelicals Twist Scripture to Advance the Left's Agenda. That's Great Reset Christianity, How Woke Evangelicals Twist the Scripture to Advance the Left's Agenda. And you could get that on Amazon. And also, Pastor Andy Woodard is going to be my guest coming up in the near future. Keep your eyes and ears open for that interview. And in fact, I'm flipping open my calendar. He is going to, God willing, be our guest on a Tuesday in June. And let me see here, because I'm going blind. It's Tuesday, June 6th. Pastor Andy will be on the program to discuss Great Reset Christianity, How Woke Evangelicals Twist Scripture to Advance the Left's Agenda. So please mark your calendar for that. Let's see. We have another listener question who is anonymous. And the listener says, I have disagreed for a long time with the manner with which many people in the congregation where I'm a member evangelize. They will often use words to people that they don't even know when evangelizing that demand definition. They will say things like, you need to be saved, and are you born again? And they will go through a rote script on evangelizing the lost without even informing people what those things even mean. Do you find this as frustrating as I do? And what needs to be a part of the content of an evangelistic message?
Yeah, that's a great point brought up. And I think it goes right back to that original point of using wisdom, right? In the culture that we're in, If we're just throwing out words like propitiation and even mercy or grace, there's not going to be an understanding, right? So in order to communicate clearly with somebody the gospel, we need to use words that they understand. So I encourage folks just to be very careful. Go ahead. I see you antsy to talk.
Oh, I was just about to say, well, I'm pretty certain that the vast majority of evangelicals themselves don't know what propitiation means.
Right.
and I would actually be delighted if more actually had that word as a part of the vocabulary, but I understand what you're saying about that would be more of a Reformed person's flaw of using highfalutin terminology to impress people with the vocabulary and not even define what they're saying.
Right. Yeah, so it's just being careful to use normal language that somebody can understand. And again, to the point that we've already made, it's not what we're not saying is don't use the word sin, right? Or God's wrath or punishment or hell, but rather explaining words that people may not understand. So instead of saying, you know, Jesus, the Messiah, you know, died on the cross, shedding his blood for the redemption of your sins, you know, we can boil it down and say, you know, Jesus The one whom God sent as his son, God in human flesh, died on the cross, taking the punishment that you deserved upon his own shoulders, taking God's righteous judgment, his upright judgment upon his own shoulders, that you can be forgiven of your breaking of God's law. See what I did there? So same exact message, but using words that somebody on the street will understand.
And let's move on, unless you are not complete with that subcategory we were discussing using wisdom and evangelism. If you have something else to say, let's hear it. But you have another subheading under the Foundations for Evangelism, which is the power of questions.
Yeah, power of questions. So I did want to make one comment. You know, I am myself a student, so I have to, of course, give credit. None of these ideas, I don't think, are original with me. So, of course, J. Max Stiles has been, you know, just used greatly by the Lord in my passion for evangelism. Greg Kalkel, who we're about to discuss, Mark Dever, John MacArthur, and I'm sure many others as I've listened to many podcasts and read many, many books on evangelism. But yeah, the power of questions brings up, and this would be my encouragement to you, if you are listening and you're interested in really sharpening your evangelism, go get the book called Tactics by Greg Kalkel. So helpful. His last name is K-O-U-K-L, Greg Kalkel. And he points out in his book many very helpful things, but one of the most helpful things that I found, at least, is using questions in your evangelism. It just creates a natural conversation, and we've already mentioned it. You know, I think just the past question that we had mentioned having this like rote script. So going and talking to somebody and basically reading through a script like you're a salesman with the gospel, that's not how any normal conversation happens anymore, right? And or happened in the first place. So if as we're meeting with people and have an opportunity to share the gospel with them, really, the first thing that I do is I actually start asking them questions. Where did you grow up? And I'm asking questions that are leading towards an opportunity for me to ask, so do you have a religious background? Did you grow up in a church? What do you believe? Getting maybe to a right versus wrong. Is there morality? And asking leading questions, and it provides not only an opportunity for me to see where to start in my evangelism with them, but also when somebody talks, right, when you ask them questions and they talk, what's the natural flow of conversation? Well, if they talk for 5 minutes, then the natural flow of conversation is now I have an opportunity to talk for 5 minutes. And very often if they're a caring person, or, you know, their eyes are open to normal conversation, after you ask them questions, they'll start asking you questions. And before they know it, you're sharing the gospel with them. And it seemed very, very natural. Like, oh, it just happened. But you knew exactly what you were doing the whole entire time by asking them leading questions. Also, so it's a way to have a normal conversation and turn it towards the gospel. It's also helpful to point out where their viewpoints are wrong. So as you're having a conversation with somebody and they make a comment that is unbiblical or wrong, maybe you have a good enough relationship with them and you can confront them right on the spot. But also maybe that's a good time to ask a question of them to show them their faulty thinking by asking a question. We can also use questions just in normal argumentation towards them. So, you know, somebody, and this is a rabbit trail in evangelism, but it would be something that comes up very often right now with abortion, right? And they might say something like, I wouldn't kill a baby, but I don't think we could say another mother shouldn't. You know, what if the baby isn't wanted? What if the baby's a burden? What if the baby can't be cared for? And you can respond with simply, well, so you just said that abortion is killing a baby. So what about a one-year-old out of the womb who is a burden on their parents? Should that young one be killed? Right? And now you've flipped their thinking and shown them where they're at fault by simply asking a question. And so Greg has been incredibly helpful to me and thinking well through interacting with people in a loving and caring way, but also clearly pointing out things that need to be pointed out, and as you're pointing them towards the gospel by the power of questions.
Yeah, Jesus Christ used that methodology.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he was every time he was being confronted with individuals by his providence, and we have to be careful when we are speaking with people to make the conversation all about us and our experience and our church, and show that we really are interested in them and their never-dying souls.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jesus was obviously the great master of this and confronting people lovingly, right?
I don't know if you had any other elements of the power of questions, but you have another subheading, the importance of a life well lived. Now, we already addressed that to an extent when you were talking about when you were answering Andy Woodard on friendship evangelism. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, not too much. I'd just say, you know, in our culture, I think if anybody has read the book by Rosaria Butterfield and things, just having a life that's caring for people with the goal of evangelism. Again, not falling into the idea of friendship evangelism, where you think you're sharing the gospel by simply being a friend to somebody, but having a life where people can observe what you're teaching them verbally through the way you live. So the way, you know, I use sports a lot in building relationships with people on the community. So the way I conduct myself on the field, Lord willing, is going to match up with the message that I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I follow after the Savior, right? To opening up your home, having hospitality. Back to Rosaria Butterfield, she was reached by the gospel through hospitality. People showing her love and inviting her into their home, allowing them to see how they interact with their children, what a loving marriage looks like that's biblical, what a loving father and mother look like that are biblical. Practicing biblical principles in their life. And these things take time, but they make an impact on people as you're sharing the gospel with them. And doing it as a team. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, and I think this is really important, that you bring other people from your church or other churches alongside of you in your evangelism. So instead of having a barbecue with your church friends, and then a barbecue with your lost friends, right? Have a barbecue with some church friends and lost friends, and allow these lost friends to meet and spend time with Christians who are showing love for each other and care for each other.
And of course, many times our church friends are our lost friends.
Sometimes, yeah.
We're going to go to our final break, and it's going to be a lot briefer. A lot more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question you'd like to ask our guest today, Kevin Vigneault, please send it in fairly soon, because we are rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org. That's g3min.org. and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908 908-
908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And keep in mind, folks, that Grace Covenant Baptist Church of Flemington, New Jersey has a new website, gcbc-nj.org. gcbc-nj.org.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvinio, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back, Pastor Kevin Vigneault. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who has a question for you. He said, I have been surprised over the last few years to meet Reformed pastors who believe that evangelism is not something that should take place from the pulpit, but that the taught and discipled members of the church are to go out of the four walls of the church and be the evangelists. What is your opinion on this? It strikes me as being strange. Obviously, it is the privilege and honor and duty of Christians to leave the four walls of their church to evangelize, but I believe that every good sermon should at least in part include an evangelistic message to the lost, because typically there are lost people among us, even in our membership, whether we like to acknowledge that or not.
Yeah, that's another great question. I agree and I disagree with the statement, right? So pastor's job is to shepherd the flock on a Sunday morning, and the gathered church is for the church, right? For believers who have been baptized, have made a public profession of faith, been baptized, and have been added to the church family. That being said, to your point, good preaching and the preaching of God's word is going to include the gospel and should be evangelistic in the sense of recognizing that there may be or most likely are unbelievers in the audience. And I'd say even whether there are unbelievers or aren't unbelievers in the audience, a good message, a good sermon is going to include the gospel. It's at the center of the scriptures, of course. And so, yes, it is the pastor's responsibility. It is the pastor's job to model evangelism, both in their personal lives, but also from the pulpit for the church family. But the main means that, of course, the church is going to be reaching people will most likely be outside of the Sunday morning gathering, because that Sunday morning gathering is designed for believers.
Now, when you mentioned that whether there are lost people in a congregation or not, it's still an important thing to have as a part of any solid sermon, the gospel, which would imply evangelism. And it just reminded me, I don't know if you knew who Peter Jeffrey was.
I don't think so.
He was a wonderful Reformed Baptist pastor from Port Talbot, Wales, author, a personal friend of mine, and he wrote a book called Christians Need the Gospel Too. So it was just a reminder of that. Thank you, CJ. Do you have anything to say about cultural awareness before we run out of time?
Yeah, I think we covered cultural awareness already. I would love to just give some very practical just ideas to folks for evangelism, if that's all right, in the closing moments.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. So just something that our church family does and what we've been doing in the last 2 years to reach our community is we use this app called Meetup, and it's a social platform where you can make a profile and give things that you are interested in. So mine is soccer, bike riding, triathlon type stuff. And people make events on there in groups. And so our church actually made a group here in Wisconsin before it was popular. And we were the only group out in our county, basically. And we just named it Waukesha Area Sports Club. And so our church populated this group full of believers. And then we have weekly volleyball games, weekly soccer games, weekly basketball games, occasional flag football games. We're going to do a game night. And what it does is we have over 300 members in this group on the Meetup app, and we'll have a soccer game. Like this Saturday, we have 8 people signed up, and a few people are from the community, I believe, and a few people are from church. And what it does is it actually gives opportunity to build those relationships and, of course, share the gospel. So I'll play soccer with a bunch of guys, ask them to go out for lunch afterwards. I schedule it before lunchtime. So we go and we grab tacos and we talk gospel. And we've been able to see some fruit through this. The church does events like steak night, men's steak nights. We just had one about 3 weeks ago, and we had close to 200 men in our church, about 115 of which were guests, not part of our church. And I'd say close to maybe 120 of them. And we preach the gospel, and the ladies have different events to a similar tune. And our goal is that, yes, they hear the gospel preached from me up in the pulpit, but then what we see has really taken root is as people go and have conversations with their friends off after, and it functions as a springboard for gospel conversations for people in our congregation to talk with unbelievers. So those are just some really simple, quick, practical ways that we've been trying to get our people sharing the gospel faithfully with the community around us.
Well, now I'd like you to summarize in just a couple of minutes what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Yeah, that's great. I was thinking through that during the break, and it's an illustration that I've used many times in messages on evangelism. It's an oldie but a goodie. When I lived in New York, I had some folks visit us, and my wife and I took them to Little Italy, and we went to one of the little, you know, restaurants in Little Italy. And I told this individual that they should get and try the gnocchi. And they didn't know how it was pronounced, but they ordered the gnocchi, as they called it.
they knew how to pronounce your last name and didn't know how to pronounce gnocchi?
Right. I never said they knew how to pronounce my last
name. Oh, okay.
But they order the, you know, the gnocchi, and they take a bite of it, and they're blown away. You know, I told them, order the gnocchi with the pink sauce, and they order it, and they just taste it, and you could see it in their eyes. They loved it. And in Little Italy, you know, you're seated outside, and there's people around you, and as the restaurant started to fill up, this individual is looking over at them as they're, you know, they're looking at the menu, and he's going, try the gnocchi, however you say it, just order it. And before you knew it, the whole entire restaurant was ordering the gnocchi. And it struck my heart of that is evangelism, right? Like when we are wired in such a way, God has wired us that we want to talk about that which we love. We want to talk about that which we experience. And if there's one thing that the listeners come away with today, it's this: spend time with Jesus. Spend time meditating on the gospel. Spend time just dwelling on incredible gospel truths, God's love, his mercy, his grace, the fact that he demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this will motivate evangelism. It should be something that we love talking about because we love Jesus. So if you don't feel any motivation to share the gospel, then get to know Jesus better.
Amen. Well, you have motivated me to go to a local restaurant, 113 Social in Carlisle, that serves an extraordinary gnocchi and shrimp with asparagus. And
might come join you.
And by the way, folks, if you don't know what gnocchi is, it's Italian potato dumplings. And I am already my mouth is already watering for it. But once again, folks, if you want any more information about the church where my guest is the pastor, Lakewood Baptist Church of Pewaukee, Wisconsin, go to lakewoodbaptist.church, lakewoodbaptist.church. And I want to remind our listeners, please, if you have funds, financial resources above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, please seriously consider Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for to receive a gift from you, because we are in urgent need of your financial help. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com, and click support. I want to thank once again Kevin Vigneault for doing such an extraordinary job as my guest today. I want to thank all of our listeners, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.